Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.
Good evening. I think when you first start to practice, you may find it very hard to explain why you started. But if you think about it, the more you reflect on it, the more you will find out how deep and profound it is. And after you start to practice, you know, you may have a very nice feeling and some enthusiasm about it. You may feel a calmness that you've been missing. You may feel some reduction in stress. You might feel more balance in your life. And you may like practicing with other people, or you may like the rituals that we do. But at some point, you also may feel that your enthusiasm is diminishing. Maybe you feel that your life is just too busy for the practice, that you can't easily find time because of all your work and family responsibilities. And when your enthusiasm feels diminished, you may also feel that your own determination is not strong enough, or that you cannot commit to continuous practice. But if you give yourself a chance, and if you have some patience, you will discover a very deep determination that you did not know was there. So that is why in our school, in the Zen school, we emphasize what's called the way-seeking mind, which is the determination to practice our way forever. And we place our trust in our true nature, what we call our true nature, that is, our nature before the everyday self emerges. And there is a saying in our practice that says, true nature is seeking for true nature. What that means is, because we have true nature, we naturally seek for it. And this may sound a little confusing, but it is the basis for spiritual practice. In other words, we humans, we want to return to our true self every moment. The that is the self that exists before our personality emerges, before we develop an ego. It is very natural for us to seek our true nature. So in your practice, if after a while you, even though you may feel you haven't attained enlightenment or something like that, or you feel you haven't made any kind of progress, and maybe you have doubts, you shouldn't feel that your practice has been a waste of time. We have to find out what our true life really is and what is the best way to solve our personal and our social problems. So, for all of us, it is quite necessary to practice Zazen. And not only Buddhist people, but the followers of all religious beliefs to practice Zazen. Zazen practice is not just a personal practice. It is for each one of us, and at the same time, for others as well. To help others is the purpose of our practice. And we should not insist on some kind of absolute teaching, even though our teaching may be very wise and very good. We need to take into account our human tendencies. We have to be cautious because too often we will accept some teaching just to make some excuse or to justify an activity. So, for example, without reflecting on it, we may say, well, the scripture, the teaching says this, says that this is so, so we should just do it. In Zen, we don't accept any teaching, including our own teaching, in that way. We should make our own effort to find the truth. And in our own effort, we will find humility and we will appreciate other people's efforts. So one of the important characteristics of Buddhism, if you read the history, you'll discover that one of its important characteristics is its capacity to be absorbed or to penetrate into any culture that it finds. We should always take into account the cultural backgrounds where the practice is expressed, but Buddhism provides a deeper foundation than any culture. So Buddhism from India, and from China, from Vietnam, from Korea, from Japan, they're all different. Buddhism is expressed in different ways in all those countries. So Buddhism evolved in them according to their cultures and their traditions. So they come across a little bit different, but they all follow the same inherent and fundamental teaching and vision. So today, here in the U.S., and in Europe, and in Latin America, Buddhism and Zen are being established. And the cultures in the modern world are different from the earlier Asian societies. So there's no need to compare them to decide which one is the better culture. We only need to be aware that practice, wherever it finds itself, will be influenced by technology or ambition or speediness or public relations. So by being aware of these influences, we will reduce the risk of letting our modern cultures overwhelm or distort the fundamental inherent practice. So if we want to practice, and if we want to understand the teachings, we should remember that we are influenced by our culture, and we are influenced by our own desires and our own preferences, and we should be aware that we can be stubborn. And if we overlook this point, we won't be able to accept Buddhism or accept our practice as the deeper foundation of our culture. And that means all of our efforts will be in vain. We should remind ourselves that we are all imperfect human beings. And we should not try to propagate Zen in America. According to our way, one by one, moment by moment, is enough. So if you and your friend have a good understanding about practice, that's enough. And if you care for someone, you should carefully help him or her understand your practice. Mutual understanding between each other is true Buddhism. So our practice is about realizing a deeper nature than what we can feel or see. This is the point of practice. We have a deeper nature, and we call it Buddha nature. It is not one of many natures, but is the basic nature of all of the separate natures, such as human nature or the nature of the wind. And we should be careful about excusing our foolish behavior by saying, oh, it's just my nature. Oh, that's how I am. We should be aware and be cautious of that tendency. So when we face a problem, we should be mindful of our personal nature so that we don't put a limit on our true nature. And this is how we can extend our fundamental true nature without problem. We should know our cultural background and have eyes to see each other's cultural background and what kind of tendencies we might have because of that background. And we should, as part of our practice, we should study our weak points. If you want to be really strong, you should know your weak points. Because without knowing your weak points, you cannot be a strong person. And if you don't know your weak points, you will have a hard time to find the real courage to do something. The results of our efforts are very important, of course. But if we don't make the right effort, the results of our effort will not be so good in the long run. Does anyone have a question tonight? Umar.
So it was about, when I went to school, it was about, from the moment that I remember, was very beginning. It was like a uniform and white shirt, gray pants, Converse or black shoes. And it was discipline till I went to the university. And I still remember that sort of training helped me quite a lot when I came here to this country. And I saw that more and more people were disciplined. But on the other hand, there was a desire in me to take that discipline and make it my own. And what I've come to realize is no matter what kind of discipline anybody puts on somebody, it can easily be tossed off. But if we have internal discipline, then we are able to follow through on what we need to do. And I believe this is what you're saying with focusing on our weak points is developing an internal discipline and looking and have the capacity to look at our weak points or what our weaknesses are. This is how I was seeing it.
Practice asks us to become aware of our own weak points before somebody else tells us. When somebody else tells us, you have a weak point, the next step is you shouldn't, and that's discipline. The awareness itself, the discovery itself, eliminates any need for discipline. When we discover our own weak points, you know, we change ourselves a little bit. We modify our attitude. But if somebody else tells us our weak points and tells us you shouldn't do that, then it's just rules. And following the rules that somebody else applies does not help us transform. But when we discover ourselves and our weak points through our own efforts, and then some change can take place. So it doesn't mean we are indifferent. Many of you know the little anecdote, the Suzuki Roshi talking to one of his students, and he said to him, you can be angry if you want, but don't. Which is how he tried to help this person awake to themselves, you know, without criticizing them or disciplining them, trying to help them. You can be angry, but don't.
This talk was brought to you by the Canando Zen Meditation Center in Mountain View, California. For more information or to support this podcast, go to canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.